Acts chapter 3. Let us hear God's word. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who has preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you.' And it shall be that every soul who will not hear the prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' To you first, God, having raised up his servant, Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities." May God bless his word to us.
Good evening. It's lovely to be with you. I'm really glad to be back. My name's Sam. I was a student here at Emmanuel. I think I broke crockery in most of your houses when I came around for lunches. And so I learned that was a good way not to be asked to wash up again. It's lovely to be back tonight. Do open your Bibles up to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. This evening, I want us just to focus all of our time, all of our minds and hearts around just one verse. Acts 3, verse 19. Repent then, turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Dylan asked me for a title tonight. It's not something that we really do at Minster. So it felt a bit alien to me trying to give you a title. But I guess if there's one word to hang your thoughts on, one thing to go away with, it's just this one single word, repent. And it might initially seem strange to you. You know, Sam's got free rein to come to Emmanuel tonight, preach from any chapter, any verse in the whole Bible. And he comes across to Emmanuel tonight and decides to talk about repentance. Now, what does he know that I don't, you know? Or the juicier question, who's he thinking of when he wants to start talking about repentance? Do you want to know the answer to that question? All of you. Or rather, all of us, isn't it? The call to repentance is one that we all need to hear at the start of our Christian lives, to turn from our sin to the Father. But, you know, if we think that we leave repentance in our rearview mirror, we're cruising down a highway that leads away from the Lord God. Each morning, we wake up to new mercies and a fresh call from the Father to come back to him, to turn from our sin to him. It's as though each morning we're prodigals in need to return to him, to experience his embrace and the warmth of welcome in the gospel. Listen to how one of the Puritans prayed about it. I'm always going to the faraway country and always returning home as a prodigal, always saying, Father, forgive me. And thou art always bringing forth the best robe. Every morning, let me wear it. Every evening, let me return in it. Go out to the day's work in it, be married in it, be wound in death in it, stand before the great white throne in it, enter heaven in it, shining as a sun. Grant me never to lose sight of the exceeding sinfulness of sin, the exceeding righteousness of salvation, the exceeding glory of Christ, the exceeding beauty of holiness, the exceeding wonder of grace. Repentance, it's to be an everyday reality of our Christian lives. Or is it just me that loses sight of the sinfulness of sin and the wonder of grace? We're all too tempted into thinking that we can move on from repenting. Yet as we hear the call tonight from Acts 3:19, repent then, turn from your sin, turn to God so that your sin may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. You know what? There's fresh hope for people like you and like me. Tonight, we're going to consider what repentance is and what it isn't, and what happens when we repent. We're going to see two pairs of Fs in Acts 3:19. And so firstly, we're going to see that repentance, it's turning from sin to the Father. And then secondly, repentance leads to forgiveness and freshness. So there's your roadmap for this evening. Let's think then, firstly, repentance is turning from sin to the Father. From sin to the Father. As we come to Acts 3:19, let's just make sure we understand our surroundings. Glyn read the passage for us. Luke, he's been describing the birth of the church. And Jesus' remaining 11 disciples, they've increased back to 12 in chapter 1. And before that, before they ballooned overnight to 3,000 followers in chapter 2. It seemed like a really wonderful time for the church then. And Luke recorded that all the believers were together and had everything in common. But then, in chapters 3 through 6, opposition kicks in. And so as the Holy Spirit stirred and moved, so Satan is kicked into action. And just like Franz Ferdinand's assassination in 1914 kind of sparked events across Europe, so too, the healing of this lame man in Acts 3, it sparks opposition without and within the church. And the chapter we heard read to us, it's almost like a mirror of chapter 2. Just look at chapter 3 as a whole thing. There are 26 verses, and there are two very clear, if uneven, halves to it. So the first half in verses 1 through 10, it gives us this clear account of the healing of the lame man. And then verses 11 through 26, Luke recounts Peter's impromptu sermon as the crowds gather to him. The miracle, it was performed through Peter and John, and they make it clear. They're at pains to make sure that people understand. That miracle wasn't performed by them, weren't they? Verse 12. This miracle, though, it served as a springboard for what Peter has to say. And the whole thrust of his sermon, the big thing that he wants people to go away with, is verse 19. Peter doesn't just explain the healing which he does in verse 16. The healing comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter doesn't just teach the crowd, which he does in verses 22 through 26. You know, he interprets the Old Testament in the light of the events of the life of the Lord Jesus. And Peter doesn't just inform the crowd, which he does in verses 11 through 18. He tells them that they're guilty of the death of the Son of God. Peter, yes, he explains and he teaches and he informs, but ultimately he calls the crowd to action. And this goal of his explaining and teaching and informing, he wants to move them. And what does he call the crowd to? Verse 19, he calls them to repent, to turn to God. Peter's laid out how the people have sinned, hasn't he? Verse 13, you handed the Lord Jesus over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate, though he decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life. The people, they've got blood on their hands and they can't wash it off. They need to come clean, don't they? And Peter tells them that the only thing that's going to make sense is to come to God. And here we see what repentance is all about. It's turning from sin to the Father. And today, we're in the same position as these people. We've sinned. But you might say, come on, Sam, like, these people, they are so guilty, aren't they? Listen to what Peter said. He said that they've killed the author of life. They're the mob that brayed for the Lord Jesus' blood, aren't they? They had the chance to see him freed. But they called for a rioter, for an insurrectionist to be released. These people, yeah, they need to repent. These people, yeah, they need to leave behind their sins. They made Jesus suffer. But am I really like them? I'm okay, aren't I? But did Jesus really die because of the crowd in Jerusalem that day? Did Jesus really die because Pilate was persuaded to release Barabbas? Was it really these people that handed the Lord Jesus over? Well, yes, it was, but there's more going on than that, isn't there? Look at verse 18, will you? Look down to verse 18. This is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. God's plan was for the Lord Jesus to suffer. God's plan was for the Lord Jesus to die, to be condemned, so that his people might be rescued. The Lord Jesus, he died in your place and in mine. We might not have been in the crowd on Good Friday, but each day we carry around the Lord Jesus' nails in our very pockets. It was us that hung him to that cross. For our sins, he was pierced. You know, Peter's call to the crowds there at Solomon's Colonnade, it echoes through the ages to you guys sat here in Gibalva. Repent, says Peter, turn from your sin. Turn from that which disobeys and disregards and dishonors God. Turn from it and don't look back. And don't turn from your sin like the Doors do at Cineworld in town. Now, I don't know how many of you managed to get back to a cinema. We've got two little ones. There's no chance of me going to the cinema anytime soon. But I'm really looking forward to it. But when you go down Cineworld, do you remember? As you go in there, they've got revolving doors, haven't they? And now this is going to be dangerous with this one. I'm just going to unclip so you can see what I'm talking about. When you go to Cineworld, you can go in, but carry on turning, can't you? And come straight back out. I mean, how many of you have had an experience of repentance like this? I've been convicted more that I am lusty and I need to leave that behind. And so I'm going to turn to God. But then you end up right back at the beginning. You know the bitterness that's in your heart, the way in which you know that you must forgive somebody. So you come to the Lord with it, and then Monday morning again, you wake up and you're cross with them. Is that the type of repentance that you've experienced, the revolving door? You can't. can't keep on turning round and around back again. Turning from your sin can't be like that revolving door. Turning from your sin needs to be like going through the doors at the airport, the customs check one. So some of you might have a family like we do that live in another part of the world. And so when you go see them, when you come back, you have to go through this big, scary looking door. At the top of the sign, it says, nothing to declare. And there's the point of no return. There's no looking back. Once you go through that door, that's it. The door closes behind you and you can't get back in. This is what we need to do. We need to turn from our sin and go through that point of no return, no looking back to it. But here's an easy mistake to make. Maybe we can simply think that repentance is turning from disobedience to obedience, stopping doing naughties and starting to do nice. That's absolutely part of what repentance is. But if we think that repentance is only turning from being disobedient to being obedient, we've oversimplified. This isn't what repentance is. This isn't what we're being called to tonight. Because what is repentance? Remember, it's those two F's, turning from our sin to the Father. Because, you know, there's more than one way to run away from God. Whilst you might not disobey him, you still might disregard and dishonor him with every breath that you take, even if you're trying to be obedient. You know, if we boil down repentance just to going from disobedience to obedience, we run the risk of turning from living an unrighteous life to a self-righteous life. And one of the Lord Jesus' most famous parables, most famous stories, was about this risk, about this danger. It was about a father, wasn't it, who had two sons. And the younger son, do you remember, he demanded his inheritance and he went off to a faraway land and he squandered all his money in wild living. And then he came to his senses when he was in a pigsty and decided that he was going to come home. He was going to leave behind his life of disobedience. He'd been living this unrighteous life. But while the younger brother was off in a faraway country, what was going on at home? Meanwhile, the older son, he was at home, wasn't he? He was living obediently. He was doing everything that the father wanted him to. But you know what? He was just as far away from the father as the younger brother. He lived this self-righteous life. Please steer clear of this oversimplification, because repentance is about turning from sin to the Father. And so if you know what it is to be racked by guilt and shame by your sin, if you feel the weight of the nails that you carry around in your pockets, but you just really can't face up to that long walk home, just think about for a second who it is that you're being called to return to. This is the Heavenly Father who's waiting, who's watching, who's longing just to welcome you back. His promise is one of welcome, and it always, always has been. Listen to Zechariah's message. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Return to me. Come back, declares the Lord Almighty, and I'll return to you. And so when you leave your sin and when you come back to the Father, he's not waiting to scold you. You don't come back to frostiness or cold, cool indifference. There's a warmth of instant embrace and reconciliation. Your relationship is made right. When you return to God, he returns to you. You don't come home as a househand. You don't come home as a servant. He doesn't need you to serve him. God invites you back to be his child. And again, as we consider how we turn from our sin to the Father, you know, we can take heart tonight, because some of us, we've been battling to turn away from our sin for so, so long. Each January the 1st, you think, this is going to be my year. I'm going to leave it behind. I'm going to turn over that fresh leaf. I'm going to be the man or woman that God has called me to be. But we're on 20th of March, and you feel like the same person that entered this year. Do you feel helpless and powerless to leave behind that sin that's just entangled you? Well, today, tonight, now, repent. Don't just try to stop being disobedient and start being obedient. Turn from your sin and turn to the Father. And as we turn to him, not to mere obedience, but to the embrace of the Almighty God, our hearts are kindled by the fire of his love. And so then our hearts are changed to beat with love for him. The things of this world, they'll just grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace, won't they? So what does this welcome, what does this embrace of the Father look like? Well, we see our second pair of Fs. Repentance, it's not just turning from sin to the Father. Repentance, it leads to forgiveness and freshness. Forgiveness and freshness. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that time of refreshing may come from the Lord. So the moment that I was super duper dreading, it arrived. The letter dropped through our door onto our mat back in April, and I'd been summoned for my first vaccination. It's not really a big secret to the people who know me. I am terrible with needles. So the thought of having to trudge up Splott Road to face the music, to roll up my sleeve, was a grim, grim thought. And the days leading up to me going for that, it was filled with nervous tension. I hated every second the thought of it. And maybe as we've been thinking and talking about repentance tonight, these feelings of mine about having a vaccine, maybe the same as what you have about thinking about coming back to God. Facing the music, turning from my sin and going back to the Father. You consider it this grim reality you've really got to steel yourself to, almost put a stick between your teeth and work around hard and just get through it. But if that's the way you've been thinking about repentance, that's your experience of repentance in the past, Acts 3 is a challenge to you in the best possible way. It's a challenge not to pull your socks up and crack on with it. It's a challenge just to stop trying to hold it all together. Because here we see that as we repent, God offers us two things, our second two S, forgiveness and freshness. That walk from our house where we lived to the Splott Vaccination Centre, it didn't take me long, but it was a trudge for me that day, dragging my feet all the way. And all I got out of it was a sore arm and a sticker. But for people like you and me, people who carry the Lord Jesus' very nails in our pockets, what do we get when we face the music, when we do end up turning from our sin and coming to the Father? Well, we get the embrace of a welcome as we receive forgiveness. And so here again tonight, God Almighty, his wrath, his right wrath at sin, it's been spent. The price has been paid. And so there's absolutely no condemnation for anybody who turns to him. Forgiveness is on offer, all because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's achieved at the cross. You know, we sang about it just now, didn't we? He has fully paid for all of our sins with his precious blood. And his blood cleanses us. We get washed in the scarlet that makes us whiter than snow. All of our sins are wiped out. So they're not kind of brushed under the carpet. And so when you walk around, it's kind of uncomfortable and uneven around God. They're not waiting to be drawn out at a future date. Do you ever worry that when you pray, when you really do bring your heart's deepest longings to God, it'll hang your sin over your head and say, for somebody like you, I don't think so. Your sin is never going to be brought up ever again. It's like it's been packed up into a heavy-duty stainless steel suitcase. Big Johoff padlocks have been put on there. The keys have been chucked away, and that suitcase has been thrown into the middle of the deepest sea that doesn't have ocean or shore. It's not coming back. And so for you who really dread that long walk home, just know this again tonight. There's no wrath. There's no anger. There's not going to be any snide remarks or stern faces. There's only the welcome
of a father.
And so please don't trudge or trundle or tramp back. Come as fast as you possibly can. But if God is so forgiving, why does repentance feel uncomfortable sometimes? Why does it feel awkward and exposing for us? Well, could it be? Could it just be that we've got used to living in darkness sometimes? What's it like when you wake up in the morning and you splay the curtains wide open and the light floods in? Do you sometimes just recoil at how bright it is? Having a toddler, getting him up, I've seen kind of the most overdramatic manifestation of that. Get Joshy up in the morning, knock the light on. He's like, oh, too bright, Daddy, too bright. But remember, the light is where the life is, isn't it? God's light is what we were made for. And as we come in, it feels so intense sometimes, but this is where we flourish as human beings, knowing the God who is light. And so repent and know forgiveness. And not only is there the fact of forgiveness, there's also the experience of freshness, times of refreshing coming from the Lord, as that's what's promised. We might miss it slightly here in some of our translations, but the times of refreshing are from the face of the Lord. And so when you start hearing that language of the face of the Lord, alarm bells need to start ringing. You need to start thinking about the Lord's Prayer of the Old Testament from Numbers 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face toward you and give you peace. And so they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. The time of refreshing that comes from the blessing of God, of renewed relationship with him, knowing and experiencing the reconciliation that comes from forgiveness. You know, this refreshing, it's a lasting satisfaction of knowing God. You know, it's drinking deep from that thirst-quenching water that only he can offer. It's knowing streams of living water welling up to eternal life within you, inside your very soul. You know, this refreshing, it's like that deep cleansing that comes after standing under a hot shower. Do you know how good that is? Not a little trickly one, a real power shower. It's like the satisfaction that comes with 3 courses out with your oldest friends, where conversation just flows naturally. And at the end of the meal, your spoon is down after pudding, and you just rock back in your chair. It's that rest that comes after you've ticked off the last thing of your to-do list, and you can sit down with a cup of tea. It's that this is the refreshing that's on offer. It's cleansing, it's satisfaction, it's rest. And these are the things that lead to life for us. Let's just go back to Acts 3 and let's just zoom out from verse 19 just for a second. Let's go back to that lame man. There he is at the start of the passage, life limited, on the outside of the temple, on the outside of relationship with God at the start of our passage. But he's transformed, isn't he, by the end. Life bursts out of him as he's jumping around. He is experiencing that refreshing that comes from the Lord. He's a picture of what Peter is talking about. Do you see? These things come from the Lord Jesus Christ, from knowing him and from trusting him. And so who is this call for repentance today? Well, it's for those who are really, really far off, and it's for those who are really, really near as well. And so some of you might only think about God as being this far, far off judge, this annoyed person in the sky, this one who's like a heavenly Santa Claus, who's looking out for the naughty and nices, who's marking every single thing that you do. Well, do you know what it is to be marked down by him, to know your sin? This is the call tonight, to repent, to come to him, to receive forgiveness, and to receive freshness as well. But this call to repent isn't just for those people who are far off. It's for those people who are really near as well. Don't be fooled, friends. Repentance isn't only the doorway into the Christian life. It's the way on in the Christian life. We've got to come to God daily in repentance and faith. We've got to confess our sin and experience the forgiveness and the refreshing that he offers as we know him to be true to his word. And so repent, turn from your sin to the Father. Know forgiveness and freshness. Repent then, turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. We're in a couple of moments going to basically work this out. What we've got laid out down here, this is the way to come back to him. The only way that we can repent is through the Lord Jesus, trusting in him, trusting that his body that was just torn apart on the cross, that should have been ours, that his blood that was poured out, that was for our sins to be blotted out. This is the place that you can have forgiveness. This is the place that you can have freshness. So in a moment, we're going to eat and drink and celebrate. But before we do that, we're going to sing now. We're going to sing about the day that made this possible, the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made as he laid down his life for us. So let's stand and sing as the music starts. Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day.